verse 7 of Jeremiah 51, Babylon hath been a golden cup, or is a golden cup in the Lord's hand, that made all the earth drunken, and the nations have drunken her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. Now, we've talked about that word mad before. It's a wrong translation. The word mad is a Hebrew word that is constantly translated praise or boasting or glorying. There's a passage in I think it's in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Now, this is the same word as the word mad. Thus says Jehovah, let not the wise glory. That's the word mad, glory. This is Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Let not the wise glory in his wisdom, neither the mighty glory, same word, mad, in his might. Let not the rich glory in his riches, same word, mad. But let him that glorieth, same word, mad. Five times we find that word right in these two verses. But let him that glorieth glory, same word, in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am Jehovah, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith Jehovah. Now here is the true meaning of what glorying ought to be. The praise and should all go. There's another verse. I don't remember exactly where it is, where someone is saying, I'm gonna defeat the foe. And he's talking to someone, and the someone says, well, you start boasting after you take your armor off, not when you put it on. Because how do you know whether you're going to be the victor or not? And that word boasting again is the same word. But here we find that it is because the nations, the churches, are drunken with the wine of that goddess of Babylon, which has brought about is something that they emphasize. Their fornication, it emphasizes their blindness. God has put a deep sleep upon them. Therefore, now they are glorying. Oh my, we see this in the churches. Oh boy, we're the biggest. We're a mega church. We have 10,000 members. And look at the beautiful building we're building. And here's another one, and another one, and another one. And this is the nature of man, is that we are, it's again gets into that whole area of pride. And it is so wrong, because it's just exactly opposite to that theme that runs all through the Bible. God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. The pride goeth before a fall, and so on. And that is why we read in verse 8 of Jeremiah 51, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Oh yeah, Babylon is proud. Babylon is glorying. And look what we are doing, and look who we are. It's utterly astounding. It's utterly astounding what the world is doing with the law of God today. And it's not only out there in the world, it's also in the churches. When they are deliberately holding classes to prove from the Bible that homosexuality is altogether God glorifying, yes. Or they are arguing about, is the Bible really divinely inspired, and so on. Talk about ego, talk about pride, talk about, and we're seeing it. And when we look at the conditions of what man is doing with the law of God, so bad, It is so arrogant. It is so terrible what is happening as we see the rise in sin everywhere we turn. We don't even have to start start listing sins. It's sin everywhere we turn, and it is directly against the Word of God. Who, as if God doesn't mean anything. Who is God? We don't pay attention to Him. It is man who are glorying in who they are. And so it says, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? The Bible talks from time to time about the balm of Gilead. The balm of Gilead. It was a figure to indicate the sweetness of the Word of God that can bring healing, just like that balm was a medicine that was commonly used in the Bible days to bring healing. And now, is there any balm for her pain if that she may be healed? When we go to Jeremiah 30, verse 12, Jeremiah 30, verse 12, God makes reference to this balm, and He says there in Jeremiah 30, verse 12, for thus saith Jehovah, thy bruise is incurable, thy wound is grievous. God is so merciful. God is so merciful. For 13,000 years, there's always been the hope that we can cry to God for mercy and maybe God will save. There is some balm in Gilead. In other words, as it goes on in verse 13, there is none to plead thy cause that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medication, because who pleads the cause of those who might still possibly have a hope? It is Christ Himself who has made all the arrangements. And when there is no one to plead the cause, tantamount to the end. And it is the end. It is the end. There is no hope of any kind. We read again in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. Chapter 8, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? The pleading, is it possible? And today it is possible. I've said this other times, and sometimes someone will ask me and say, well, now, when the day of judgment begins, when that day comes, when the rapture occurs, do we still have opportunity to plead with God? Is there still a possibility that that God might change His mind for me if I'm not already saved? And I sit here in astonishment and I say, now look, God in His mercy is telling us and telling us and telling us and telling us. And He is warning and He is pleading with us through the book of Jonah, where we have the Ninevites. What are they doing when they're given a date? They're sitting in sackcloth and ashes and pleading with God. Is it possible, crying out to God, is it possible that you might change your mind? And that is what God has done for us right now. But if we're going to wait till the day of judgment begins, we are again ridiculing God. We are saying, look, we want our timeline. God has given us this time. Oh, this is the mercy, the love of God, that all over the world they're getting the message. That is what the Bible says, because this is authority. This is absolute authority. Well, okay. Now let's go on. We read in verse 9. We're looking at Jeremiah 51. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. You know, what was the purpose of the gospel for 1955 years? What was the purpose of the Bible to the nation of Israel for 1480 years? What was the purpose? To bring healing, to bring spiritual healing. And mankind is in their fornication and in their blindness, in their pride, you know, that glorying. The nations are mad. No, they're in their pride. We know better. We know better than God. And so God's now concludes in verse 9 of Jeremiah 51, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her. Forsake her. It's the end. Will God's patience finally come to an end? You read the Bible, and I say this again and again, go through Exodus and read how God had to deal with ancient Israel as they came out of Egypt. It's shocking, but it isn't shocking. It's exactly the way the world has been and the church has been. God does something wonderful for them, and the next thing they're yelling and screaming at God, why did you bring us out here into the wilderness to perish? And then God rescues them, and then the next thing you know, he rescues them in a mighty, miraculous way, and like such great things as going through on the Red Sea on dry ground and water pouring out of a rock on a mountain. Impossible things, yet clearly indicating it's the mercy of God. And the next turn of the wheel, almost immediately after, they're complaining again to God. And that's the nature of mankind, because they are engaged in spiritual fornication. They think they know better. They believe it should have gone in some other direction. And so Christ says in verse 9, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her. The end comes. There's no more. Let us go everyone into his own country. And that's the division of the sheep from the goats, the division of the wheat from the tares, the goats, that which is not saved, even though it looks like it, they are all headed for Judgment Day. Over here are the true believers. They are being prepared, and there's still a lot of hope in the world for those that they're being prepared so that when the day of judgment begins, it's also the day of the rapture, when our salvation is 100% completed and we're going to be with Christ forevermore. So let us go everyone into his own country. We belong, there's two countries. There's the nations of the world, the nations of Satan, the kingdom of Satan, and over here is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the time when that separation is going on. And this is the time that we have to be really certain that we're in a right relationship with the Lord. And yet it is that wonderful time when we are uneasy about how we stand. And yet we can cry, we can plead, we can implore, we can beg. God, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. And that is just an outstanding privilege that God gives mankind, that we can beg and beg and beg and beg. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of Jehovah our God. And for this is speaking to the true believers. This is exactly what Family Radio is all about. Our desire to tell the world about the righteousness of God and the work of Jehovah our God. Now, make bright the arrows, gather the shields. Jehovah hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. Now, he's referring us, he's giving us a little bit of help to understand some of the historical language of the past. Remember, it was the Medes and the Persians, headed up by Cyrus, who's also called Darius, and they were employed by God to conquer Babylon. And we read about that in the book of Daniel, how the city of Babylon was destroyed in one night by the Medes and the Persians. And that was in the year 539 BC. And that fits perfectly with the end of the Great Tribulation. It was 70 years after the tribulation began in their day. It began in year 609 BC when King Josiah was killed and the whole nation went into more and more sin very, very rapidly. And here God picks up that thread and emphasizing again that the Medes are a representation of Christ coming in to end it all. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of Jehovah, the vengeance of his temple. Now, when we read the word vengeance, we think of the idea that I'm going to get even with you. I'm going to get even with you. But when God uses the word vengeance, he's using it simply to follow through what the law declares. It is not a matter of, yes, it's done in anger. God speaks again and again about his anger against sin, because sin is right against God all the time. But nevertheless, that's always mixed with his mercy, his forgiveness, his possibility of salvation. But when God finally is talking about vengeance, it's simply saying, look, the law of God says the wages of sin is death. And since you remain sinners, well then, I have to destroy you, and you're going to be destroyed forevermore. This is the vengeance of God. It has to come. Finally, the world has to come to its end, because the whole world is dripping with sin, and it is the wages of sin is death. It cannot just keep going with this. God's law has to be carried out. And so it emphasizes here the vengeance for his device is against Babylon, verse 11, to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of Jehovah, the vengeance of his temple. And temple is used in the Bible as a figure of the kingdom of God. It is, and the kingdom of God, the very essence of the kingdom of God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And his integrity, his justice, his everything about him has to be vindicated. It has to take place. And therefore, it is the vengeance of the temple. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes, for Jehovah hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. Now, we're not going to have time to go into this verse in detail, but you might think one of the questions that you're going to be thinking about is, what does it mean, set up the ambushes? And you know, from time to time, when a city was destroyed, like what is it, the city of Ai, when it was destroyed, we read there that they set up an ambush. And we read about it in the historical account. We wonder, well, what does that have to do with anything spiritually? And here again, God uses that word of an ambush. And in our next study, we'll begin with that and begin to try to unravel some of that language and see how that ties in with God's plan for the future. But right now, we've come to the end of our time, and we want to make room for another message, and then we're going to entertain some questions or comments from our audience. Now remember, next time we'll start with verse 12 of Jeremiah chapter 51, and what does it mean? Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. And of course, right away we see the word watch, and we have some ideas, don't we? What is the watch? And we'll look at that in our next study.